2022. And I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. Meet the department heads and elected officials. First, we have any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
I have none. Now we will meet with the department heads and elected officials. Cheryl McVey, Auditor's Office.
Well, good morning. Well, we're starting a new fiscal year, so it's busy. The auditors are getting started on our audit, and we're just getting ready to financial reports and close out last fiscal year, so.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keep busy like always. I made a job posting there last week for the network administrator position in our office. So if anybody knows anybody that, you know, might be interested, head out to the county website and the job's posted out there, so.
What position?
Network administrator.
And you have to be smarter than the supervisors to do that, don't you?
Maybe.
You can't get a good answer out of it.
You have to be smarter than supervisors to even drop right up the post. Whatever I need for that.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Thanks, Colin. Sheriff Glenn Denny.
I'll jump on that job posting as well. Our position for, our deputy that we're testing for, that deadline is July 8th, this Friday. Any applicants that are out there, they're still wanting to put in, they have till Friday to put in. We've had several good applications come in. We'll be testing, holding that testing here in about 2 or 3 weeks on a Saturday, so. Looking forward to that and getting our next pool of candidates ready to, for potential hire. The jail this morning, we had 9 in intake. So it's been a busy weekend, but nothing out of the ordinary, I suppose. But we're at 71 this morning total and 3 out of county.
Okay, Kevin, I'm on that Southeast Iowa Crime Commission. And a lot of these other supervisors here, we had this meeting last week, are complaining because you get a good deputy in or something, some of these bigger towns are taking away from you. Have you had any problems with them?
So we haven't lost any deputies to other law enforcement. We lost our first deputy, he went into insurance. That was the first one that we had, and he just was looking for, I think, a change, more of like an hour thing than law enforcement. But I guess to speak on that, I think it's all of our responsibility to try to create the kind of environment that they want to be a part of and they want to stay, and that's what we try to do. Wages are a big part of that, but wages aren't everything. It's also the kind of atmosphere that they're working in. I mean, everybody wants to be a part of something great, so that's what we try to create. And it is a concern, though, moving forward, that if we're shuffling law enforcement officers between entities, to me, especially within Des Moines County, like, when we test, it's equal opportunity. So if they're from West Burlington to Burlington, they have that opportunity. But it doesn't do well for the county as a whole to take law enforcement officers from them, because we're all in this together. We're after the same goal to reduce crime. So the more outside candidates or new to law enforcement candidates we can find, the better. That's the goal. We can't just take law enforcement officers from other entities constantly, because pretty soon we're going to all run out.
Good. That's good to hear that the way you're operating here. A lot of them are having problems.
Our retention has been really good. We've had several retirements, so we haven't been able to get up to full steam. Those are all scheduled retirements. But we should be there here in the coming months, and we're excited to get there finally, so.
How many applicants did you have last year?
Last time, in the low 20s. And usually,
got to cut that in half right off the bat, or?
Yeah, usually a little better than half of that will actually show up. We had 6 get on our certified list. That means that they passed the written test, they passed the physical agility, and then they did the civil service interview, so that our civil service commission has 3 civilians from the community that take part in that interview process. And they will eliminate some that they just don't feel meet that level to, more based on communication skills, not necessarily background, but just the ability to sit in an interview and make it through that interview process. And then after that, we do a background check. We do polygraphs and mental evaluations and all that stuff to complete the hire process. So it is a rigorous process, but we've been really successful. We hired 4 off of that list of 6, which we thought was pretty good.
Thank you, Kevin. Rodney Blazer, maintenance?
Good morning, just business as usual, nothing new to report at this time.
Okay, thank you. Trent, county attorney's office.
Okay, well, I'm here to go through with the ATV thing. Lisa's got court service today, it's a short week, so I don't think we have anybody doing jury trials.
Define court service for me.
So, court services, so there's only one judge today, but Chris is off and I'm here. We just come in and so it's, anything that be handled in half an hour or less is when the judge just handles all of those. So whether it's a pretrial conference, a lot of probation violations that I do come on court service days. Any type of motion that's gonna take less than half an hour to argue.
Housekeeping issues.
Somewhat housekeeping issues, it is. It's pretty fast. And a lot of it is housekeeping issues. Some of them are substantive, but not all. But it has to be within half an hour or less. And some of the judges leave and say 15 minutes, and they'll set things to be done every 15 minutes in district court. And then in associate court, when they have court service downstairs, it's more like a specific docket. So, you know, associate court, they might have all the traffic tickets all in one morning. And then all of the juvenile stuff all in one day. So theirs is more directed towards different things. They do a little different. But district court services, just anything that can be handled that quickly. A lot of it is housekeeping, but a lot of it is substantive.
Okay.
So sentencings can be done in half an hour. Pleas can be done. Those things, the probation hearings, those are all substantive things, but they can be done quickly.
Thanks, Grant. Jared Lasser, Southeast Iowa Regional Planning.
Morning. Land use has been busy as usual. I don't really have anything significant to report other than we just have a couple of subdivisions up for review right now, and that's about it.
Okay. Thanks, Jared. Janelle?
Good morning.
Lundquist, Grazer's office.
Just keeping busy. Nothing new to report. I do have an agenda item.
Okay, still have taxes coming in, delinquent taxes.
Well, those notification letters went out last week, so I expect to see some of that coming in this week, yeah.
Thank you. Ken Hyman, Seal Region?
Yeah, we don't have another management team meeting till the middle of the month, but we've got a request for proposal out for an IRSH home. I think there's been one response to that. So the next time I have a management team meeting, we'll look at what responses we got to that. I think we've had one, and we'll look at the process to go through and see if we get some more people interested in that. That's that no eject, no reject home to help with people in crisis. So something that there aren't very many in the state. We're trying to get one through an RFP process.
Did Medicaid set new rates for those?
Medicaid, I was just reading an email this morning that said they've set some new rates for HAP services and for HCBS services, but I don't know about the IRSH homes for sure. I haven't heard for sure about that. July 1, they did set some new rates based on some dollars that they have in to set rates for, so. I do expect some great changes pretty soon here. Notifications.
Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Natalie Steffner, how's the recorder's office?
The recorder's office is doing well, just business as usual. Just a couple items on the agenda.
You have a lot of reading on that new ATV and UTV form. I know Trent's read a lot on that, so.
Yeah. There's quite a bit, lots of recorders, yeah. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm going to lead in with saying a big thank you to my office and to my shop because they don't get enough credit, and things kept running just as smooth as ever. Probably the biggest credit to Becky. She pretty much handled her workload and my workload there for a stretch, and I appreciated her efforts on that. So, but it is good to be back and to be seen and to not be at home. So, so give you a couple quick updates. I was gonna sit here and tell you that Upper Flint was gonna open tomorrow, but it looks like they're going to try to open Upper Flint this afternoon. And supposedly it's coordinated with the DOT so that the intersection at 61 will also open at the same time.
Today?
Yes. So now as soon as I say that, the contractor will change in 10 minutes. But the goal was to open it tomorrow. They've moved that up a little bit, so. So I wanted to mention that. That's, I guess, hot off the text message. So that will be good to button up. I know today they had a little bit of dirt work to finish up. We were trying to do a little bit of seeding in the area and stuff like that. You know, you're going to drive through that road, and it's obviously a vast improvement from what it was. And then you're going to hit that bridge, and you're going to be like, why in the world didn't they do something about that bridge? That's a different funding source and a different spot in our program, so that's why. The bridge will get done. It's a year or two out for the funding, and it's one of the contracts we've signed fairly recently, I say within the last 6 months, for design to get going and everything. So same thing with gear. If you drive gear and you wonder why in the world didn't they do the bridge when they did all that other stuff, bridges are just a little different animal, and it's better just to try to do them on their own if at all possible. So anyway, we are working actually on both of those bridges, and they're both in need of them, and they'll look even worse now that the pavements leading up to them are in far better shape. Again, hot off the press a little bit, but that's coming. We will do a press release once it actually is open to let everybody know. I guess we'll stay with closures. I want to mention that Pleasant Grove Road at the intersection of 61 is closed. That's a DOT. I let you guys know that on an email last week, but supposedly 3 weeks. Believe it if you want to. We haven't had the best of reliability as far as the contractor for the DOT being accurate, is how I'll say it. But that's right now what we're being told. I believe the only other closure, Dodgeville Road's closed right now. They were hoping to get the subcontractor in this week and get it open. I have not heard an update on that. So when I know more about that, I'll let you know. And then 210th, which is Gypsum Plant Road, but east of 61. So it's not the intersection going to Gypsum Plant, it's the intersection if you go to the east. That's closed for roughly the next month and a half. That's a low volume gravel road. There's only a couple folks that live down there, and they do have access the other way to come out to Seven Ponds Road by some other gravel. So those are all DOT related closures, I guess I would add. I also wanted to mention, I have a landowner that's been communicating with me for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe, I don't know how long we've been talking about a dirt road in the county that he would like to try to get sea leveled. You guys are aware of this. This is actually, you guys aren't the first board that this come up with, because we tried to vacate it years ago and that didn't get through. I shouldn't say we, the landowners tried to vacate it a number of years back. They have a lot of trouble with it's a long winding dirt road that sits wet, and the kids like to tear it up, and then the farmers in the middle can't get into the ground, and they have problems with some drug use out there and people cutting their fences. He's got livestock, so they've had quite a few issues, and he wants to come meet with the board. He'd like to look at a sea level out there, which is a gated dirt road, essentially, I guess, is a summary of it. However, there's one landowner that refuses to sign the petition. And our current ordinance requires 100% of landowners to sign the petition. But that's not required by code, actually. The code is far looser than that, actually. And so he'd like to come explain and have some of his neighbors come explain their frustrations and see if the board would be willing to consider amending the ordinance, which would obviously be a process. It'd be a two readings and then a waiving of the third kind of thing, if you decide to do it, to allow for a petition to be considered without 100% of adjacent landowner signatures. So.
Would we have to change an ordinance?
I personally think you would. It is an ordinance that the language is in.
So we already have that language.
You have it, yeah, okay. Yes. It is an ordinance. I think it's required to be an ordinance by code. So, and I'll pull, when we get to that point, I'll pull that out, get you guys the information. You'll have it. I've shown you guys the sea level ordinances, but I'll give you all the paperwork so you're not blindsided. If time works out, I'll show you the road just so you can kind of have a visual.
So are they going to want a waiver or are they going to want to amend the ordinance?
I told them there was no waiver. The ordinance doesn't allow for a waiver. The ordinance is black and white. It says that you cannot be considered by the board without 100% of adjacent landowner signatures. So I told them that the ordinance would need to be amended before it can come to the board.
And there's no dealing with the other...
They've tried multiple times.
Send Rodney.
So, I will put them in touch. Keep in mind, this is a landowner. When the requesters come for this, this is something we facilitate, but we typically don't sit in the middle of. I mean, we create a petition to help them out, but they carry it. They go to the landowners, and there was it wasn't a lot, but there was some resistance to this from adjacent landowners in the past. As I'm being told now, that has all gone away. They're all fed up, which is pretty typical for this kind of a situation. There's just one landowner and...
This is a road where they're just going mud, and every time it gets wet, people are just tearing it up. Is that...
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's always been the frustration. Probably the bigger frustration is drug use and damage to personal property. Cutting nice cattle fences, leaving gates open, stuff like that, because you get stuck or that's where you want to do your drugs because it's dark and nobody can see it, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't live out there. It doesn't bother me because the road itself, once they tear it up, we almost have to move. Once it gets torn up bad, we almost have to move a dozer and then reshape the thing. I mean, but if it gets gated, again, this is a long ways from being new. This has been a topic before. If it gets gated, then obviously that cuts it down to just adjacent landowners that can use it. I think previously when it came up for vacation, I think the argument was somebody just liked driving through there so they could look at wildlife. And, you know, that board at that time wasn't willing to move forward with the closure. So,
which road is this from?
Out by the Triple H Hunting Lodge, 70th. I don't know what it's called now. It's you know where the hunting, 99 on the west side there.
Timber Ghost.
Timber Ghost, yeah. There we go. That dirt road that goes up that hill.
Gotcha.
Up onto the top. So, anyway, you guys are aware of this already. I'm just saying this all again publicly. What I would like to do, and perhaps you guys don't want to do this, but I was going to schedule a work session at like a set time, like a 10 o'clock kind of a thing, and let the landowner, and then if his neighbors want to come down and speak to the board. If that's not necessary, and if you guys are open to this, we won't waste their time, we won't waste your time, and I'll work on amending the ordinance. I haven't had that in-depth discussion with you guys. I just wanted to get this out there. So,
what's that going to do? I remember here, been 6-7 years ago, there was another one up north in the north end of the county.
Okay.
But they wanted to cut down that dirt road so they could get on 99 a shortcut.
Probably the same one.
Is that the same road?
Very possibly, yep. It would be, this by changing this and this ordinance, it would actually function a lot closer to a road vacation. So if you want to close a road, it doesn't require, we do require people to petition, but it actually, if Des Moines County wanted to close the road, I can prepare that and run it through you guys, and I don't need anybody. We don't need anybody's approval for anything. So if you look at the two different changes to road classifications, allowing a petition, because it doesn't mean that you have to approve it, but allowing a petition to be considered without 100% signatures isn't the end of the world, because you already, if somebody comes in and wants to vacate a road somewhere in Des Moines County, which has happened plenty of times, we do encourage them to go get a petition, but 100% landowners is not a requirement. A petition actually isn't even required. And that's not a, that's just code stuff. That's not a, that's not an ordinance. So.
I'm just curious on that. What, if that's going to, what that, is that going to affect anything else by making that ordinance to where, or is it going to come back on us by making that ordinance? Because again, it comes down to, I know why they did it, because we don't want to come off as picking sides. You know what I'm saying? And how do you make that? I just don't understand how that ordinance is going to be written up to where you're still not picking, you know, you're still not blatantly picking sides. I much rather like the cleaner route of you just saying, hey, we're shutting this one down, we're shutting that down, and it is what it is. But changing the ordinance, I'm just curious how that's going to...
I actually, the board or the county engineer don't have the power to sea level a road on our own. That's got to be by petition from a landowner or by request from a landowner. And like I said, I'll pull that code out. I read that code probably a month and a half ago, so I don't have it memorized. You guys can think it over. It's just, this has been a topic for a long time. I encouraged him to try the sea level route again this time. Again, previously it was a vacation. It was a closure request. There is still a landowner, a couple that aren't interested in the vacation part of it. So they just want to go sea level. And from what I understand, all of them are supportive but one. And the one that's not supportive, that's the frustrating part to these guys is they barely have any, their land skims this road. I mean, it's probably just, if you hired a land surveyor to come in and actually do it, it might hit it, it might not. It's that close. So we're considering them an adjacent landowner to be on that safe side of it. But Shane, you're not wrong. If you require 100% of the landowners, then it has potential to make it cleaner for the board. But I will tell you, I've sat through these plenty of times where somebody that you never expected, even with 100% of the signatures, came in and opposed it. Because I've heard a couple different things. You know, they like to drive through and look at wildlife, look at the birds. It's their cut through when weather's nice to get from point A to point B. We did something up in Pleasant Grove once and they wanted it left open because that was where a recycling thing was. There's stuff that I can't even imagine that people come up with. And so it doesn't necessarily get rid of conversation or topic when this comes up. So I'm pretty neutral to it one way or the other. You're right, it would make it easier for a petition to come to the board. And I don't support all these either. I mean, I tell people if it doesn't have support from my office, if I'm opposed to it, it won't go anywhere. We're not gonna go cut off a major road that, even though it's dirt, is a main cut through in a certain area. That's not the way the system's meant to work. So I don't know. I don't, like I said, I know this isn't something new, but it is something you need to give some thought to. I mean, the way I look at it, they have the right to approach you about it no matter what. I mean, I've encouraged them to speak to the board. I just tried to keep it to an organized fashion rather than sending phone calls your guys' way randomly.
If it's an issue, I'd be comfortable with a work session and giving them an opportunity to present their case to the board.
And I'm fine with that too, and you guys can make your decision. I mean, I made them no guarantees. I mean, I just told them that they had a right to an audience with the board and to express their, kind of explain the situation, express their frustrations, and let you guys see what you see.
Grant, if you get time, can you look that over before we have a work session at Oregon?
I will, yeah, and I'm curious to see how enforceable the portion of the ordinance that says it's unwaivable truly is.
I can send you the ordinance and the code section, Trent.
Please do.
Save you the looking for it.
Yeah. Because I just...
That's no problem.
Yeah. That I can see somebody wanting to put that language in because then it's easy for cover, and you're right. Oh, well, we can't waive anything, so... But I think technically, I don't know if that language will be...
It doesn't say it's not waivable. It just says it's required to have 100% of the landowner's petition signatures on a petition, adjacent landowners to be considered by the board. I mean, there's nothing in there about waiving, it just, that's the requirement for it to go to the board.
Threshold, yeah.
So I did survey some counties, I wouldn't claim that I got a response from everybody, but it's all over the board. Some counties, we're actually maybe in a minority. Someone require petition just to see the support from the adjacent landowners, whatever there is on it. Some don't require petition at all, just come make a request and we'll discuss it. So, it's all over the place and, but.
Reference the trespass, who was having fences cut up there?
Gentleman's been speaking with me as Rick Work.
That farmer, or is that with the?
Farmer. Yeah, he's across from the, he's on the other side from Timber Ghost. And, he's got an entry to a pasture, he has quite a bit of the ground along there, kind of in the middle of the road. So that's kind of, you know, according to all the stories I've been told, and I, again, I can't speak the truth at all, that it's to a point where the kids that like to hang up there have a honking system to make everybody aware, whether there's law enforcement, the people, some, they like to walk the roads and they don't even feel safe doing that now because of the clientele. I again, don't live there, and I, you know, when you don't know it firsthand, you listen, I guess, is what I'll say.
What's the home, Jim?
So.
Too long, too short.
Anyway, I've dragged this out plenty long enough, but I was thinking, if you guys are interested in a work session, letting them come.
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
So we can
Maybe sometime towards the end of July, we'll just pick a Tuesday and pick a, like I said, maybe just do a 10 o'clock so they know when to show up kind of thing. And
right on.
Okay, I'll coordinate with all three of you to make sure that whatever date it is works, make sure Trent works, and then I'll get a hold of them and give them a date and time.
Okay.
I'll give that information to you, Trent.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
You serious your nap?
What?
You serious your nap?
I am.
Okay. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Hello. Welcome back, Brian.
Yeah.
We know he's home. All right. Really, safety, things are moving along. We're keeping busy. We did have our first animal control board meeting, to handle the situation. I want to thank all of our teammates. Rodney got everything set up for me. Kevin had his three deputies show up for the meeting that were involved in it. Trent needed, I needed some answers to some questions, and he jumped right on it. So it went pretty smooth. Everyone worked with me and did a wonderful job. So thank you guys. It went pretty well. There's a few lessons learned. You know, it was our first one, so there's a few things I'd do different. They helped me get set up so I could do the audio and the video, so we had everything recorded, and I forgot to hit the button on the video. So. there were some lessons learned, but other than that, it went pretty well. I think all in all, it worked out good.
You got it all resolved, Ed?
We hope so.
Yeah.
Good. So
that's good.
Okay. That's all I got.
Thanks, Andy. Did I miss anybody, or is there anybody on the?
Okay.
We shall move on then to correspondence. Does any of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I do not.
I got another complaint about the recyclables.
About the what?
About recycle. Oh. The recycling. I guess people are putting trash in it still. That's the only correspondence I got.
Where at?
Out by the one by Pleasant Grove. The other one that's, further. I don't know where the other one is, but I know the complaint came from somebody that used to go to my other church, but they're putting trash. I mean, I suppose that's always been an issue, but that was the only correspondence.
Okay, well, we've got one here that this is Terry Johnson, the auditor. The purpose of this letter is to fulfill the Des Moines County Board review obligation notifying each taxing district of properties that have appealed to the Iowa Property Assessment Appeal Board or the District Court pursuant to the Iowa Code Section 441.391, as stated below. So, property owner or taxpayer appeals the decision of the Board of Review of the Property Assessments Appeal Board or the District Court and request an adjustment. Valuation of $100,000 or more, the assessor shall notify all affected taxing districts as shown in the last available tax list. So, I think that basically says what, if anybody appeals for taxes and...
Correspondence that's available for public review in the auditor's office.
It will be... What's that?
Was that just a general, or was that one of the properties in particular?
It's got one of the properties in particular.
I'll look at it afterwards, okay?
Well, why don't you come up here and look at it too, please?
So yeah, so Cinema West, like, you know, that was, that came in.
It's not Mrs. Broker, is it?
No, but the ones with Southeast Iowa Medical, we haven't received these. I thought they went to District Court. So Cinema West is with the PAB. I'm gonna look and see. Maybe they went to District Court and the PAB. So I'm glad I saw this. I should look. And then the other one at the PAB that's not on here, that came in late, that would be a different than what I told you in our update, was the mall paper file. So although it wasn't digitally done on time, it was paper filed, and it just took the state a couple of weeks to get it from the mail to the computer because...
Who's the state?
Well, and they don't, who does that now, right? You know, wait a second, you know, they can still... One of the few things people are allowed to do with mail, and I'm sure they're like, hey, who does this? So, but yeah, so the mall is on that list, but the PAB, but the hospital, from what I understand, has all been in District Court, not the PAB. Which is so, but they're appealing, which is different rules.
Okay, we have accounts payable claims in the amount of $877,314.69.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Cheryl.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCamber.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have a resolution establishing, I can't even talk this morning, establishing precinct election officials, cell phones, and mileage. Whereas, in accordance to the Iowa Code of Section 49.20 of the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors establishes the compensation rate for the precinct election officials and reimbursements for actual and necessary travel expenses. Whereas the Board of Supervisors has approved the mileage reimbursement as an line item in the auditor's election budget for many years, and the mileage rate reimbursement for election officials at the same rate and established for the county employees. Whereas in 2006, the Board of Supervisors approved the line item in the auditor's election budget, reimbursement for the use of the election official cell phones on election day, if used to contact the auditor's office, at the rate established as $5 for the use of the election official cell phone. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors that effective July the 5th, 2022, precinct election officials will be reimbursed for mileage over 5 miles one way at the current rate set by the Board of Supervisors for county employees, and reimbursement of $5 to precinct election officials for the use of their cell phones if used on election day to contact the auditor's office.
Is there a backstory to this?
There is quite a backstory to this. So the state auditor's office is trying to verify that all counties during the presidential election had board approval if they increased wages to give precinct election workers or if they gave them any kind of extra pay at all. So Terry has been working with the state auditors. She had a resolution showing that the pay was increased so we could get a few workers for the presidential. But the best that we could tell, we've been giving this cell phone $5 per election since 2006 or earlier, and could not find anything that the board had actually signed. But we had it in the budget, and you guys had approved the budget year after year after year with that reimbursement in there, so the state auditors are happy with that. And but we thought for future reference, it would be nice if you guys approved something in writing, so if they ask for that again, we don't have to go to the vault and dig through things clear back to 2006. To try to prove that yes, you were aware of it and it wasn't anything done underhandedly or, you know, that you weren't aware of. So, all for $5 per cell phone. It was $15 in the primary that year that we paid out and maybe under $100 in the presidential election. So, it was a lot of work. A lot of emails back and forth, and Terry's off the hook now. They're not going to arrest her and throw her in jail.
Only if they approve it, though, right?
Yeah.
We need to talk.
It was crazy. It was government at its best, trying to find proof of the $5 reimbursement.
We approve the $5 on the gas in the pump.
Second.
Carol.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Treasurer's list, office list of depository of funds. Okay, we have Farmers and Merchants Bank and Trust, Burlington, Iowa, $24 million. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, Burlington, Iowa, $15 million. Danville State Savings Bank, $6 million. Mediapolis Savings Bank, $12 million. Iowa Public Investment Trust, $12 million. First Interstate Bank, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have $5 million. And then Midwest, Farmer Savings Bank, Weaver, Iowa, $8 million. And Midwest One Bank, in Burlington for $8 million.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Carol.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Thanks, Janelle, for all your hard work on that. I hereby designate Two Rivers Bank and Trust as official depository for the funds of the Office of the Des Moines County Recorders of Deeds and Register of Vital Statistics. This designation is for the official year of July 1, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. The dollar amount for the maximum deposit is $150,000. And this step in respect to the year.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sure.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jeff Carey?
Yeah. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Community Action Southeast Iowa for general assistance.
That was, that's, I'm on that board, that was my deal, and it's reminiscent to the 2080 agreement, but they wanted a MOU written up, so we got one done, and so we can move forward with that, but it's just, it resembles the 2080 with the $12,000 deposit, that they're going to be the agents.
Is that a motion?
I move to approve.
Second. Cheryl?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. Sure.
I think Terry's probably gonna have that.
Yeah, I think Terry will have.
And then, yeah.
Not sure who the first party and second party is gonna be on that, probably the auditors.
It says the top line, first party.
First party signature, Des Moines County.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say who.
It doesn't say who.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't know if it's gonna be with the auditor or myself.
Well, I thought Terry could.
I would say it's a chairman.
What's that?
Yeah.
I would say it's a chairman.
Whoever signs it's gonna be fine, nobody's gonna question that.
Yeah, yeah. This is really a document from there, and like, we have to use a 2080, right?
Yeah.
And they need a memorandum of an MEU, a memorandum of understanding. So what we did, and Terry did a lot of the work to get it started, and then after that, I looked at it and just referenced our 2080, because we have to go through the 2080. So what it does is it's a memorandum of agreement, which they need for their purposes, and then it references back to the 2080 agreement, which we need, so.
And it also on the MOU, a reference that they had announced at the end of every year, we have to renew it, which wasn't in the 2080, I guess, which I thought it was, but apparently it wasn't, but we made sure we put that in there as well.
Yeah, there.
And it was renewed annually.
Yeah, it was, because like most 2080s, we put it in that it stays in effect in perpetuity till it's amended, which is something we do with all of them, essentially, because they go from year to year unless we change it. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know, but I've seen ones where 25 years later, you say the 2080 runs out after 3 years. Well, you've still been using it for 25 years, right? So I, yeah.
It is okay, sorry, John.
Yeah. Okay, next we have a Class B native wine permit. And it says on the agenda for the County Treasurers LLC, but it's actually the Country Treasurers LLC. I was wondering what was going on.
Janelle thought she was getting a cut of problems.
You know, like a little bit of wine.
The girls would appreciate that.
Okay, but it is for the Country Treasurers. And Rockport Springs, you know, Road, Burlington. So, what's your
motion to approve?
Okay, that's
second.
What I was looking for.
Second.
Cheryl.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. If I had said County Treasurers on there, why would you still approve?
Okay.
Slip it in there.
Okay, now we have personnel actions. We have one for the DESCOM, and it is for Lance Dunblazer, telecommunication operator one, the new hire, $21.01 an hour.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Then we have, excuse me,
It's been a long weekend.
After we sat through Brian's dissertation, we thrown the whole schedule off.
Blame it on me.
Carol? Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes, you people didn't see that.
I love the way you set it up with Brian being back. Look at the clock.
We are glad to have you home.
Yes, you are. It is.
This is what the sheriff's office, it's for,
Right?
You want to pronounce his name? Wendelin,
Oh, Baltusberger.
Baltusberger, okay. Part-time clerk, anniversary, 1 year step increase, correction. Previous rate was $16.32 an hour, new rate is $17.32 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay, now we have reports. We have the Iowa Land Record Election Service System report. This will be on file in the auditor's office for your viewing at your discretion. We have minutes for a regular meeting, June 28th, 2022.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Now we have amended meeting for the minutes for the regular meeting on June 14th, 2022.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Do we have any other business? Future agenda items? We're going to get that work station. Brian's going to contact you here toward the end of July for a work session on that road. I don't know of any other.
Herbert wanted to get a work session in.
What's that?
Herbert from the cemetery board.
Yeah.
He wanted a work session in. I don't really want to do that.
He's back.
I talked to Brain.
Mm-hmm.
On that. So I think he'd like to be maybe involved in that when we have that work session.
Okay.
We'll have to get that set up.
Okay. That'll work.
And it'd be nice if he was here. He's going to be involved with moving, you know, having his stuff.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be any culvert put in there now because it's they went down and kind of did a little survey. It's a high point, so they just put the dirt in there. And
that'll make it even easier.
Yeah,
that's good.
Make it a lot easier.
Okay. Okay.
And then, Tom, do we need to do something on the animal control board ordinance?
Excuse me?
Yes, we've, and that's, I don't know where that is in the on the county attorney's list of things to do, but we were going to change that besides passing the correct version. Remember, there was a problem with the one that got posted several years ago, and then adding the part on notifying the if somebody's bitten, you notify them of the results of the dog after he's been tested for rabies.
And then there's another part I'd like.
I think there was another
too.
Part. It's been a few weeks since we discussed it, but we do need to get that. On the agenda as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Can we get a copy of that ordinance too, emailed so that we can go over it?
I have the original one, so there was another one that apparently got.
Well, and that's because we discussed it, and that's when Tim Scott, you know, your predecessor,
is
here as mayor, I mean, but as came and was talking, you know, he said, because apparently at one time he'd been bitten, And nobody ever got back to him, you know, after the dog was tested, whether he had rabies or not, which would be, doesn't seem to be too much to ask. And not having the individual that owns the dog reach out to him that he could hear from, I don't know whether it was going to be the sheriff's office, law enforcement, or the animal control board, but somebody was going to contact him.
The sheriff's office was going to be that person that was going to handle that communication.
Yeah.
And we've adjusted our operations and our animal bite report for to be in line with that. We just need to get the ordinance done.
Sure. I know those notes exist someplace, but to get them incorporated into the that ordinance, we need to get that done. Because I don't think there's nothing controversial at all. It's the ordinance we passed 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I
And then, you know, just a
Of course, there was ten copies, you know, that we made adjustments and changes.
Yeah.
Somehow one of them. But there's also a portion where it says, after two times coming in front of the control board, where like this situation that we dealt with, they had two serious issues. But by the time we got the information, they didn't come in front of the control board for the first one because it was one, two, pretty quick. And so I think that portion needs to come out too. I mean, if you have two serious issues.
And we might need a work session to go through it again.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it's all cleared up.
Yeah, it helped. I mean, having one and going through it, it kind of helped to learn where the good parts and,
Thanks, Angie.
Okay, thank you. Okay, committee reports.
I didn't really have any committee meetings I attended, but I did attend Alliant Energy. I was invited to a discussion. And sort of off the subject, but you would be amazed how good looking and brilliant Shane's older brother is.
Move, scoot your chair this way. He's about to get struck by lightning.
I told him, I said, you're the real McCampbell.
How much did he give you to come save us?
I want to know.
His personality, he may have.
Anyway, but there was an interesting piece of information. And you might have, and I've read a couple times, they talk about rolling blackouts through the Midwest. And there's a number of regions across the Midwest. And as you're probably aware, the generating power, you know, the amount of generation that has gone down. So he said the Alliance region has plenty of reserve, so they're fine. But he said whenever some of the regions don't have much reserve, but whenever one region needs help, all the regions come together. And he said that in response to somebody's question about rolling blackouts. And the distinct impression I got was they can't guarantee that because while Alliance area or region might be okay, if another region or two is in need of power, they take care of each other so one region doesn't get hammered. So at the end of the day, they didn't say that there's no chance of rolling blackouts. That's it. Just for an FYI.
But we all have electric cars.
I didn't move to California, just so I didn't have to deal with that.
But I did enjoy meeting him.
Sure you did, Tom.
He's got a great big McCampbell personality.
He's got some. Help us, Lord. Anyways, let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get sick to my stomach. Let's keep it moving.
That's all I
had. I had youth board. Not really much going on there, nothing really to report, except for they're struggling still with some areas, trying to get some help. And the other board was workforce, was the other board, and I'll be honest with you, I struggle at that board. That's the board that I struggle at the most, because we're supposed to be trying to come up with ways, as a CEO, come up with ways to make people work. And, you know, I'll tell you, after about two meetings of that,
I really didn't even know what I was there for the third time. You know, I can't make people work. You know, there's nothing you can do. And so we sit around and we're trying to, you know, trying to rub our, pull our hairs out and all that stuff to figure out how to get people to work. And so I'm asking Des Moines County to pray for me because I'm on that board and I'd like to see people go back to work. And we've got meetings every month, but we talk about how come nobody wants to work and what we're supposed to do at these meetings to try to get people back to work. I don't know what to do. So anyway, there's that. Maybe I divulge too much information.
Well, I had a county fair and college board meeting, and they elected new officers, and not new officers, there was a motion made by Mr. Heelan to keep the same officers, and it went 100%. Nobody seems to want to do that stuff, so Lanny Hilly was still president, and Travis Holstein still the vice president, so.
Appreciate their service.
And they're gearing up, getting ready for the county fair. And they're sandblasting inside the arena, you know, getting a lot of that old paint off to get rid of that so they can eventually get in there and paint it. And how they got that, there's a flea market that used to be out there, and they started that back up this year.
Pigeon show?
It used to be the pigeon show. But it's,
now it's called something different.
But hey, the class that when that pigeon show goes, it's going in, the money, the reserve of it goes back into the college for the automotive, you know, that they're working on for fixing up dents and that cars, you know, teaching that kind of stuff. So 100% of the proceeds of that goes back in there. So their rent that they're using instead of paying rent on the building, they're sandblasting all that old paint off in there. So it's kind of nice. It's a barter system, you know,
like
they used to do on the barter.
I like that.
So that's going on, and then they have the new Blackhawk Center they're starting to build out there, you know, rec center for them, a soccer field and all that. They give us a big printout of that, and I'll show that to you. I'll put it in the office there. So that's what I had. So anybody go in here and give anybody 2 minutes for public input. We'll give you 2 minutes to call 753-8203 extension 4. That's 319-753-8203 extension 4, or email board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. And we'll give you 2 minutes to do that. And you are on the timer right now. Anybody in here have any comments?
You guys want to look at your calendars and see if the 26th would be a day you'd be good with a work session?
Excuse me just a minute.
July 26th? That gives me some time to get that stuff to Trent, let him look at it and make sure there's not some, I guess, loophole or whatever you want to call it around it. But
works for me.
That works for me.
All right, I'll work with the auditor's office, and we'll look at that, and I'll get a hold of landowners and make sure that at least one of them can make it for that and kind of coordinate all that.
Okay. All quiet in here. You gonna make Brent in time today?
Hey, but you actually had something to put in your article now. While he was gone, it was kind of quiet.
I'm getting tired of all this Brian bashing.
I know.
I'm not. I'm just lying. I'm not getting tired.
So, Duke got a question. Since Chris didn't show up, does anyone know anything about bats? She had an unusual bat in the grill of her daughter's car, and we're trying to figure out what it is.
It's
odd looking.
No,
it would hit the grill of a car.
Well, he crawled back out, so he's still around, but he looks.
You would think with their radar, they could detect the grill of a car.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? He's definitely an interesting-looking character.
Yeah.
The only thing I can find that even resembles it is a yellow badge.
There's a... She's still stuck in there?
Yeah, it got stuck in the grill, but then she parked in the garage and woke her up at 2 o'clock in the morning. But then they backed it back out of the garage.
Yeah,
it
was
morning.
Yeah.
They
called people's houses.
That's
why me? I'm more capable than that.
Did you get a lot of phone calls for that still?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was 1:15 in the morning. She comes in and she goes, Mom.
Isn't it unusual looking?
Yeah.
Like I said, the only thing I can find seems close to it's a yellow bat. I wish Chris would have been here.
It looks like my brother's face.
Chris looks
no, right.
And it looks alive. He went into the grill and he was back behind it, kind of looking at it.
2 minutes are up, so I were adjourned, and we do have a work session with the county attorney after this.
Aye.
Aye. We are out of here.
Somebody
walk out that door.